It's a Walnut Wednesday edition of the Maya Ag Life Daily News Report. Welcome, everyone. We are glad to have you along. Kathy Merlo reports on Diamond Foods' culinary walnut innovation journey. And California Walnut Board's Jennifer Olmsted will discuss boosting domestic walnut consumption in a feature report from Taylor Charlstrom. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. I'll have a look at national and regional agricultural news, beginning with regional ag news headlines right after this.
Sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, delivering value to growers and handlers with advocacy, research programs, and walnut promotions. Doing more together.
Agricultural producers and handlers who are certified organic, along with producers and handlers who are transitioning to organic production, can now apply for the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Organic and Transitional Education and Certification Program and Organic Certification Cost Share Program, which helps producers and handlers cover the cost of organic certification along with other related expenses. Applications for OTECP and OCCSP are both due by October 31st. See your local USDA service center for more information. According to the California Crop Progress and Condition Report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture National Agricultural Statistics Service, last week average lows from California ranged from 14 to 55 in the mountains, 25 to 67 in the desert, 32 to 62 along the coast, and 35 to 67 in the Central Valley. Average highs for the state ranged from 37 to 79 in the mountains, 52 to 97 along the coast, 57 to 106 in the desert, and 61 to 95 in the Central Valley. From the California Department of Water Resources, snowpack water content in the Northern Sierra was 3.20 inches compared to 0.80 inches this date last year. Central Sierra was 3.50 inches compared to 0.50 inches this date last year. Southern Sierra was 1.20 inches compared to 0.30 inches this date last year. California DWR-CIMIS stations recorded 1,392 chill hours at Gerber, 1,294 chill hours at Williams, 1,369 chill hours at Holt, 1,633 chill hours at Merced, 1,347 chill hours at Fresno, and 1,128 chill hours at Arvin. Harvest of early stone fruit varieties were ongoing. Cherry harvest continued. Apples, pears, and plums continued to develop. Apricot harvest began. Peaches and nectarines were harvested. Grape vineyards were thinned of leaves and vines were tied. Persimmon trees were in full bloom. Pomegranates were steadily developing. Valencia oranges, tangelo, grapefruit, and lemon harvest continued. Navel orange harvest began to slow down due to high temperatures. Mandarin groves remain netted to prevent cross-pollination. Strawberry quality is favorable, and blueberry harvest continued. As for nut crops, some orchard floors were cleaned up and weed control continued where necessary. Almond, walnut, and pistachio nut development was progressing nicely. Walnut canopies were becoming much denser with leaves. In Colusa, Sacramento, Solano, and Yolo counties, asparagus harvest near completion. Cherry tomato harvest moved closer to the middle of June. In Stanislaus County, sweet potato plantings continued. In Tulare County, summer vegetables continued to be planted. Onions, fava beans, zucchini, squash, eggplant, and garlic continued to grow. Leaf lettuce was picked and sold at local stands, and onions were available for harvest. The Biological Products Industry Alliance applauds the bipartisan introduction of the Plant Biostimulant Act of 2022 and thanks Congressman Jimmy Panetta, a Democrat from California, and Congressman Jim Baird, a Republican from Indiana, for sponsoring the bill. The act amends the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act to establish a consistent national definition for the new agricultural product category of the plant biostimulant and specifically excludes products which are not pesticides from FIFRA regulation. This legislation demonstrates that there is a bipartisan support for establishing a clear path to market for biostimulants and get these innovative agricultural products into the hands of American growers to help improve plant health, crop yield, and tolerance to abiotic stresses. According to BPIA Executive Director Keith Jones, plant biostimulant products can increase the uptake and utilization of existing and applied nutrients, thus reducing the potential for nutrient runoff into rivers, lakes, and streams, or lost to the atmosphere as greenhouse gases. The utilization of innovative plant nutrition technologies such as plant biostimulants and other sustainability management practices can be used for tools for enhancing carbon sequestration, conserving and replenishing soil health, reducing carbon emissions, and improving the nation's water quality. BPIA is hosting its 2022 annual meeting in Monterey, California as we speak. Today is the last day of the meeting. There are multiple sessions discussing a bill and looking at current state biostimulants in the U.S., including regulations, market expansion, and their role in plant health. California Governor Gavin Newsom has announced an additional state minimum wage hike to become effective on January 1st of 2023. Currently, California has two minimum wages, $14 an hour for small employers, those with 25 or fewer employees, and $15 an hour for large employers, those with 26 or more employees. The $15 wage was due to become effective for all companies on New Year's Day. Citing an inflation rate that exceeds 7%, Governor Newsom has raised that to $15.50 for all companies. And according to a statement from his office, the wage increase will benefit millions of California households that are struggling to keep pace with the highest rate of inflation in decades. For years, the state minimum wage has increased steadily while inflation numbers remained modest. The raise is expected to benefit 3 million workers. In a related development, there is a statewide campaign to raise minimum wage to $18 an hour for all workers by the year 2026. The campaign announced last week that it has collected enough signatures to put this measure, known as the Living Wage Act of 2022, on the state ballot this November. If the measure succeeds, it will give some 5.5 million people in California a raise of more than $6,000 a year. The hike would also apply to tipped workers. The initiative, led by California entrepreneur Joe Sandberg, would also increase the minimum wage by a dollar every year starting in 2023.
There's giant potential sleeping in your soil. Under drought conditions, it's never been more important to wake it up. Phycoterra, a superior soil microbial food, activates the native microbes responsible for your soil's health and water-holding capacity. Adding Phycoterra to your crop increases water retention up to 10% and optimizes crop nutrient availability. Plus, it delivers excellent mixability and application flexibility, making it easy to add to your existing crop input strategy. Visit phycoterra.com to learn how you can wake up your soil's giant potential with Phycoterra.
Kathy Merlo joins us with a report on Diamond Foods' culinary walnut innovation journey.
It can't be easy being the CEO of a major ag-based company like Diamond Foods. There's no shortage of challenges, especially with today's widespread shipping delays and port problems. But good leaders know that out of challenges come innovation and solutions, and that's where Diamond Foods is headed under the direction of Gary K. Ford. Ford has been at the helm of California-based Diamond Foods since 2017, when the century-old walnut company came under new ownership. Today, Ford is leading efforts to increase demand for Diamond Foods products, which rely heavily on walnuts, pecans, and almonds. Since 2019, the company has launched several new brand offerings, including its ready-to-go nut pie crusts, its line of snack walnuts, and in 2021, its nut coatings, all in multiple flavors. That kind of product innovation was born out of the company's long-term view of the walnut landscape.
We knew walnut crops were going to get larger, not just in California, but in China and other parts of the world. We knew we needed to spend a lot of time, energy, money, and effort to create additional demand for walnuts. And we will continue to focus on that.
Developing new products and increasing market share isn't just important to Diamond Foods, Ford says. Building demand is critical to the financial health of California's walnut growers.
Growers are mostly concerned about demand for their products, because high demand for their products ultimately increases farm gate income. So that's what we're trying to do at Diamond, increase demand, because that ultimately will bring prices up to a better level for walnut growers throughout the entire industry.
Ford's efforts to create a new culture of innovation at Diamond Foods began the day he became CEO 5 years ago. He immediately went to work building a new executive team and making significant upgrades to the company's processing facility in Stockton, California. And he addressed something else.
When I came back to Diamond in 2017, I was not happy with our consumer quality. That was measured by consumer complaints, which had increased significantly. The number one complaint in the walnut industry is rancidity. While our product has a long shelf life, it's still perishable. So we fixed that immediately by changing the quality of our input material. We also get to market with new crop fast by mid to late October. We're also buying better packaging materials and using rosemary extract, a natural preservative, to keep our product fresher. With these changes, our customer complaints are down almost 80% from that time frame. That's very satisfying because that was a clear and present danger to our brand. Now our brand is growing again, and we're pleased.
Even as Ford focuses on Diamond's long-term success in the marketplace, he and his team are wrestling with problems the company cannot fix on its own.
We've obviously got some short-term challenges with ocean shipping, getting to our international markets. There's a lot of people working on that, not just in California, but hopefully in Washington as well. But that is something that needs to get fixed in the next 2 to 3 months, because we need to be able to ship internationally in the fall, particularly October, November, and December. We need to be able to get product to our customers internationally. Pricing has, for the 2021 crop, has been very volatile. Product was selling for $3.50 a pound or so in October and November of 2021. And our inability as an industry to timely ship product had a drastic impact on pricing. Pricing for light halves and pieces, again, it started around $3.50, had moved as low as $2.20 to $2.25. So the shipping issues have had an incredible impact on pricing. Going forward, we believe pricing will rise as the industry has the ability to ship product to our international customers. You know, 75% of sour walnuts are exported. So if that extra product just floods the U.S. market or North America, that's just going to bring prices down there. So we have an international customer base that's been developed over the last 75 or so years, and we need to be able to get to those customers. That will ultimately move pricing up to much better levels.
But until that happens, Ford doesn't foresee California's walnut acreage expanding.
We're going to see slow to no growth in walnut plantings in the next 5 years, as some of the legacy varieties, trees that are 50 plus years of age and have substandard quality, are going to be removed. Also, until we get some stability with supply chains and international tariffs, we're not going to see a lot of growth in walnut plantings. The most serious challenge that all California agricultural crops are struggling with today is the lack of availability for shipping containers and the ability to get those containers on steamships.
Despite those issues, Ford believes Diamond Foods is on the right track, and he's optimistic about the company's future.
We've got many other things to come, and I'm very proud to say innovation has become part of our culture, and we believe it is fundamental for our brand, company, and growers. But we've got a long way to go. We've got a lot of good competition, so we have to keep upping our game. Part of the value we're trying to bring to retailers around the country is our innovation. There's not been a lot of innovation in the culinary nut space, and we're proud of the new products that we're bringing to the table.
Unsure of your navel orangeworm program? No worries now with Rango. a proven solution to protect your orchard at hull split from navel orangeworm. Rango is an OMRI-listed broad-spectrum biopesticide with no known resistance, making it an excellent rotation and tank mix partner for both conventional and organic growers. Partner with Rango today. Contact your PCA, local dealer, or visit rangonow.com. Rango, no worries now.
In national agricultural news, National Milk Producers Federation and the U.S. Dairy Export Council are calling on the U.S. government to levy retaliatory tariffs on Canada. The call comes after Ottawa made clear that it refuses to meet its signed treaty obligations under the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement concerning dairy market access. In January, a USMCA dispute resolution panel initiated by the U.S. found that Canada's dairy tariff rate quota system violates the terms of USMCA. Canada issued a new TRQ proposal in March, which included only inconsequential changes. The announcement shows no indication that Canada intends to comply with its USMCA commitments, according to the dairy groups. Jim Mulhern, president and CEO of National Milk, says Canada made a clear choice to thumb its nose at both the United States government and its international treaty obligations. In April, the groups filed public comments on a matter with Global Affairs Canada. The comments noted that proposed changes continue to fall woefully short of full compliance. The Biden administration last week announced the nomination of Alexis Taylor as USDA Undersecretary for Trade. Taylor currently serves as the Oregon Director of Agriculture after previously overseeing the USDA's Farm and Foreign Agricultural Service during the Obama administration. Taylor is an Iowa native who moved to Oregon after working 12 years in Washington, D.C. And speaking of undersecretaries, President Joe Biden has announced his nomination to fill the undersecretary's position in the Food, Nutrition, and Consumer Services mission area. USA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
Among the highlights of Stacey Deed's year-plus tenure as Deputy Undersecretary for USDA's Food, Nutrition, and Consumer Services, last year's 10th anniversary recognition of MyPlate.
The concept of MyPlate is just this visualization of how much of the different five food groups to have on your plate and in your beverage.
Now Deed has been nominated by President Joe Biden to the undersecretary position in the Food, Nutrition, and Consumer Services mission area. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, in a statement, highlighted Deed's depth of knowledge and experience in the field of food and nutrition. The Senate Agriculture Committee will hold Deed's confirmation hearing on a date to be determined. Deed's nomination was announced simultaneously with that of former Farm and Foreign Agricultural Service Deputy Undersecretary Alexis Taylor to the post of Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agricultural Affairs. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
A group of senators is urging the Department of Agriculture to address extremely high levels of corporate concentration in the infant formula marketplace. The request comes as infant formula shortages are occurring nationwide. Senate Democrats Tammy Duckworth, Cory Booker, and Amy Klobuchar say the infant formula industry has reached an alarming level of corporate concentration with four companies, Abbott Nutrition, Mead Johnson, Gerber, and Perrigo, controlling nearly 90% of the infant formula market. The lawmakers say that concentration creates a serious risk to infant health if there is any disruption to a major manufacturer supply. Meanwhile, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack urged states to adopt flexibilities to support families. Vilsack says USDA will continue the work they started in February, working not only within the department but across the federal government, suppliers, and partners to end this infant formula crisis as quickly as possible. The flexibilities are included in a special supplemental nutrition program for women, infants, and children, otherwise known as WIC. The Port of Savannah has handled 495,782 20-foot equivalent container units last month. That's a record for the month of April and a Georgia Port Authority's third busiest month ever. GPA's Garden City Terminal now handles nearly one out of every nine loaded containers crossing the nation's docks. GPA's containerized trade increased 6.2% or 29,150 TEUs in April compared to the same month a year ago. The growth is related in part to retailers replenishing depleted inventories and making early orders to ensure product availability. For the fiscal year to date, GPA has handled 4.75 million TEUs, an improvement of 8% or 344,260 TEUs year over year. Savannah was recently ranked the top U.S. container port by loaded export volume, handling 1.38 million TEUs in calendar year 2021. U.S. and European policymakers are trying to find ways to deal with a brewing global food crisis stemming from Russia's war on Ukraine. Policymakers in the U.S. and in Europe are trying to find ways to move Ukrainian grain out of the country, whose Black Sea ports are now blocked and some of its farmland, warehouses, roads, and equipment destroyed. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack made a trip to Warsaw, Poland, meeting with counterparts to address food insecurity and price spikes, especially in the Middle East and Africa, heavily dependent on Ukrainian exports.
The ports have been blocked or mined, so they're not available today. Overland routes need to be established in order to get product to other ports outside of the Black Sea ports that are blocked. To do that requires obviously a lot of trucks and a lot of rail cars, and there's a question about whether or not there are sufficient numbers of those available. But the real challenge is that the rail system in Ukraine is not compatible with the rail systems in some of the other neighboring countries.
Vilsack earlier told lawmakers in the U.S. that the U.S. can help provide humanitarian food aid, but transportation costs are very high.
It's amazing to me that it costs more than the value of the product we're transporting to get that food to Ethiopia and some of the North African countries. So I think there is an opportunity for us to look at ways in which that could potentially be addressed.
Iowa U.S. Senator Joni Ernst told reporters recently none of the $100 million that Congress okayed in food aid had moved as of last week, since U.S. law says half of ships must be U.S. flagged.
Well, currently, there are only four of those types of cargo ships that are U.S. flagged and meet the specifications according to law. There are over 12,000 of these cargo vessels that are worldwide.
And Secretary of State Antony Blinken told Ukraine's foreign minister the U.S. is committed to finding a solution to Ukraine's food export problem. He said the U.N. Security Council will also hold an emergency session soon on global food insecurity.
Do you know the nutrient use efficiency people? Yes, I'm talking about the folks at Verdesian Life Sciences that deliver crop insights and solutions so California crops grow to their full potential. From micros with a proprietary delivery system to solutions that help improve the uptake and assimilation of applied nutrients. Visit VLSCI.com to learn more about Verdesian Solutions or to connect with a local representative right here in California.
And now a report from Taylor Charlstrom, where he visits with California Walnut Board's Jennifer Olmsted on boosting economic walnut consumption.
The California Walnut Board and Commission's domestic marketing activities have been designed to expand California walnut use and consumption. The work of the Board and Commission is being focused on educating consumers on the versatility and health benefits of walnuts by reaching them in a variety of ways, from news articles to print advertising to social media to e-newsletters, partnerships, and more. A few key health areas that the Walnut Board and Commission is promoting for walnuts are heart health and anti-inflammatory effects.
We have been working in the retail space. We started with some in-store programs on a very regional scale in 2016, but we wanted to come to this conference and talk a little bit about the opportunity that there is at retail and to work with retailers, and in particular highlight a couple of the national campaigns that we've run in recent years. In 2020, we did our first National American Heart Month program and worked with a number of different retailers. We had with us here at the session at this conference United Supermarkets. They talked about their personal experience joining in on our American Heart Month promotions. But we found that that was a nice white space opportunity. Walnuts are known for their heart health. It's something that we can definitively say about walnuts. We've got the American Heart Association's heart check mark, and it allowed us to kind of extend beyond that traditional holiday season. So this particular retailer, we had their produce buyers with us, and they talked about how they cross-merchandise walnuts with bagged salads in the produce section during American Heart Month. They used a lot of different resources, display bins and signage. They worked with their retail dietitian to do some local news segments and also talk about the health benefits of walnuts for your heart. And they saw that just in the month of February, they sold 7,000 bags of walnuts throughout their stores and had a 424% increase in their sales over the prior year. So needless to say, they were impressed at what walnuts could do during a time of year that wasn't the holidays. They talked again. We had them come back and join us in the program in 2021. So in 2021, we had 34 retailers participate in our American Heart Month program, operating in over 10,000 different locations. And this particular retailer saw an additional 22.5% sales lift, and that was over that massive increase they saw in 2020.
That was California Walnut Board's Senior Marketing Director, Jennifer Olmsted. She said they wanted to try a similar snacking campaign in July during the summer, and a lot of companies were skeptical.
We were able to work with a number of different retailers. In July, we had over 20 retailers participate in the snacking program. And United in particular, we cross-promoted walnuts with blueberries. We worked with the U.S. High Bush Blueberry Council to create a partnership. And they were very pleased with the results they saw in the summertime.
While the summer consumption campaign for walnuts has been a successful point for the California Walnut Board and Commission, it wasn't always like this. Traditionally, walnuts have been consumed during the holidays, and it's been difficult to break that tradition of making more recipes with walnuts.
So people have, you know, a lot of their kind of go-to recipes with walnuts, you know, it's just come from the holidays. It's a holiday tradition. And for people, the reason why they don't buy more walnuts year-round is they're not top of mind, or they don't know how to use them. So those are kind of the two things we're trying to overcome. So to get over that top of mind awareness, we make sure that we are doing everything in our power to get out there constantly through our public relations programs. We also are doing a lot of digital advertising to keep in front of them and providing a lot of that recipe inspiration. And we found with the in-store programs that when we cross-promoted two products, you know, for example, in produce, you have walnuts next to a bag salad mix, or you have walnuts next to blueberries, you're giving people those easy ideas on how to use walnuts beyond maybe that traditional holiday cookie or other baked good.
As for what comes next with the California Walnut Board and Commission's push for increased domestic consumption, Olmsted said that the board and commission are working on an e-commerce program. This is Taylor Chalstrom with My Ag Life.
This segment was sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, working together to advance the industry. Together, we can do more.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.